tell everybody right now, I'm in a massive state of confusion. The Sports Machine with Slim is going to be a confusing day. Confusing show. Hopefully confusing entertaining. I'll do what I can here. WKXL. Sports Machine with Slim, New Hampshire's next generation sports talk radio show. On my drive-in from work, I was listening to a competitive sports talk radio station, and they were talking about they're going to watch the games live from MGM place in Massachusetts. Big day for everybody, right? College basketball tournament. I mean, it technically started 2 nights ago. For me, it does, because when you can come home after a day of work and put on 2 elimination games per night, you're going to get something fun, except for that atrocious Virginia game 2 nights ago. You're going to get torture sometimes, but last night's games were fun. Fun as heck. And the 16 matchup the night before was fun. You love this time of year, everybody. Come on. And we got everything else sprinkled in. There's so much stuff to talk about. This is why I'm confused. We got Shohei Ohtani potentially has, like, vicious gambling habit. This is potentially, and I have to go through this story because it's the lead thing on ESPN. It's one of the biggest trending things on all social media accounts where they're saying it's his interpreter. But his interpreter, on one hand, they're saying gets paid $300,000 to $500,000 a year, yet he's $4.5 million in debt. That doesn't really make a lot of sense. On the heels of knowing that Shohei Ohtani himself signed like a $700 million contract, but he has put the payments on that or extended out, right? Like for his playing career, I think he's getting $2 million a year here. And then after that, the huge payments kick in. So that is one confusing cesspool of like, who knows what's going on that we have to talk a little bit about. I want to talk as much college basketball as I possibly can today. The Boston Celtics game last night. I will tell you, I learned something about social media, and I don't know if I can utilize this. I think that I can. People, the listeners in the audience, I know you're happy for me here. I have no idea what I'm doing on social media, but I think I stumbled onto something last night. Me and my wife were watching the Celtics, mostly me. She was reading a book to the side, and I put on Facebook Live on my phone, which I did get banned for the post last night, just so everybody knows, because I had the phone on, and as I was talking about the Celtics game, my phone was on the TV. And I knew that you really can't do that for elongated periods of time, but I just kind of forgot about it because I was so like wrapped up in the Celtics game, who they were blowing out the Bucks, and then the Bucks outscored them by like 16 or something stupid to get it all the way down to 3 points. And I'm going to roll through what I have from that game here, but the bigger point for me is this Facebook Live opportunity, because I went from having nothing and I couldn't even figure out how to do the camera piece of the Facebook Live on my phone to all of a sudden 35 people were listening to me and my comments while watching the game, and I just was nonstop rambling. I was feeling good, if you know what I mean, and I just was talking about the game and saying, nobody knows more about the Celtics and basketball than me. Nobody. I can keep talking nonstop and just it put me on like a speed energizer bunny rabbit. I didn't even have coffee today. And listen, I don't need any pauses. It's like I'm not even breathing. I just can keep going and going and going, talking about Jaylen Brown going to the free throw line with 3 minutes left. And we're up, we're in the middle of like losing our lead on a night that Giannis ain't even playing. And Jaylen Brown goes to the line and bricks 2 free throws. And I'm just like, oh my God, I need to find the clip of him from like 6 years ago when he's like, yeah, I want to win 3 championships or 4 championships. Remember that back after they had lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers back when Tatum was like 20 and we thought these two dudes were going to be winning championships every year. He thought he was. And he's the guy now, fast forward 6 years, and I'm getting on him a little bit, but dude, you cannot go to the free throw line and brick 2 free throws with 3 minutes left in the game when your team is in the midst of a meltdown. I'm sorry. Can't happen. Cannot happen. I don't care how good you've been playing since the All-Star break, Jaylen Brown. And I love watching you. I mean, you want to see my notes from earlier in the game? It starts out, I'm looking at my notepad. No Giannis. question mark, exclamation point, yeah, whatever. But who did we get? We got an exemplary performance from one young man on the Boston Celtics. Do you people out there remember when Peyton Pritchard last year wanted to be traded because he wasn't being played? Do you remember at the All-Star game, this dude was like, you know, like, I want you guys to trade me because you're not playing me? He's that competitive. He's that confident. And guess what, people? He's that good. Peyton Pritchard is that good right now. He's definitely our best penetrator into the middle. I'm not saying he's our best finisher, but the vision that he has to dribble past the man guarding him into the middle of traffic and doing so with the sole intention of attracting another defensive player to come towards him so that he can then make a pass to an open player. It's incredibly just intelligent how good Peyton Pritchard is out there. He sees everything going on. And guess what? He does not give a flying you-know-what about pressure. And so what started my ramble on Facebook Live was this, and I'm going to hold to it here. And if you want to call the show, 603-224-1450 is the number for WKXL, the sports hotline right here, 603-224-1450. You can disagree with me if you want, but I'm telling you right now, Peyton Pritchard needs to be on the court in crunch time. And I'm talking if it's the next game we play, I'm talking if it's game seven of the finals. And that means somebody else needs to sit. And I don't care if it's Jaylen Brown. You want to know the God's honest truth, and I said it on the podcast. It's not going to happen because he's the highest paid guy in the NBA. Jaylen Brown, you'd be sitting down, dude. You should. Peyton Pritchard has more balls than you do. That's it. Peyton Pritchard does not care. He is going to shoot with confidence. He's going to go to the free throw line with 3 minutes left and make the free throws. And Jaylen Brown, you might not like to hear that. You know, people that are Celtics fans and we want to be positive. Oh, what's this guy? I'm not being negative. I am not being negative. I want Jaylen Brown to be sitting across the table from me, listening to me talk like this to him and say, you can't go around with the you're too small stuff. You can't say you're going to win three or four championships and then go to the free throw line in the middle of a team meltdown and miss two free throws. You can't do it. I'm rooting for this man. I want him to be the hero. In fact, I want him to be the guy that gets the ball at the end of the games. Because you know why? Well, Tatum ain't been getting it done. Last night, did he do it a little bit? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Tatum, you, good for you. You don't reset any Jason Tatum game tire or winner countdown clock that I have going on. He still hasn't won a game or tied a game at the end of regulation or in overtime. He hasn't hit that big shot yet. I'm hoping he can. Maybe last night was the start of a turn. I'm glad we had a close game. I want the close game. These guys need to learn something from it. And if people are afraid to criticize Jaylen Brown for a lack of intestinal fortitude, then what are we doing? As fans, it's no wonder these people go to the games and they get free tickets and they don't cheer. Nobody cares. If you're not going to criticize the highest paid player in the NBA because he can't make a single free throw out of two when there's 3 minutes left in the game in the midst of a meltdown, sorry, dude. You're going to get the facts here on the Sports Machine with Slim, and this is why I'm better and know more than everybody about the Boston Celtics and what's going on the court. If you sit and watch the game with me, it's an absolute treat because it's inside the mind of a genius. Peyton Pritchard needs to be on the court. Guess what? At the very end, Joe Mazzulla had Peyton Pritchard on the court. And I said, Mazzulla, dude, you're starting to earn the respect next level from me. You had a feel for the game. Peyton Pritchard ruled that game. And I know Jrue Holiday was out last night. Okay, so that makes it a lot easier to put Peyton Pritchard in the game. If Jrue is playing, how are you going to sit somebody and have Peyton Pritchard be playing? I don't care. You need to do it. He doesn't feel the pressure. He's an underdog. He's a worker. These other guys have inflated egos, so when it comes challenging time, they melt, or they have melted. The positive here, Celtics fans, is that we are so good that the one time the Celtics click, and it can be in a regular season game, no kidding, more likely in the playoffs, as soon as they come through in big moments, as soon as Tatum hits that shot, he's going to be making it for the rest of his career. But until that happens, watch Peyton Pritchard, dude. He'll show you how it's done. He needs to be on the court in crunch time. Remember, I said it. Celtics need to play with confidence when the game's on the line. And you need to be confident as a listener to the Sports Machine with Slim that you're listening to one of the very best sports talk radio shows in America on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, nhtalkradio.com. It that there's going to be a fight in the Bruins game tonight. The Bruins are looking to establish their male dominance at this point in the season. And the New York Rangers have a dude that apparently is up for the challenge and has his own male dominance he would like to exert. 21-year-old Matt Rempe, number 73. He is a center, apparently, forward for New York Rangers. 6 feet, 7 inches tall, 241 pounds, 21 years old, and he's not afraid to fight. In fact, people all want to fight him because he wants to fight, and that's his role on the team. And my guess is somebody from the Bruins tonight is saying, hey, I'd like to, let me think on this. I'd like to have a go. That's probably the way to put it, right? I think it'll be a gentlemanly fight. Like, that's how they do it in hockey. It's like, hey, yeah, you're a big dude. You like to fight, huh? Yeah. Okay. Well, want to do this? Yeah, all right. Let's do it. And they'll wait for the right time when it's not a pivotal point in the game so they're not taking a penalty to hurt their own team, and then they'll fight. And apparently this huge dude, which, you know, being 6'7" on skates and having that, you know, height advantage and leverage certainly is a big advantage. And so let's see who from the Boston Bruins is willing to take up the call. I think it's going to happen, and I would not be surprised to see my man there, Justin Brazeau, who I call Brazzers, and a lot of people online call Brazzers. I would not be surprised to see him be like, all right, I'll take a run at the big fella. Let's see. And Brazzers is big in his own right. So that's a side plot for anybody looking to watch the Boston Bruins tonight, if you're watching hockey, because there's going to be such wall-to-wall college basketball action going on, and we have to talk about it here. I mean, so you people know, we have from 11 to 12 today, we're playing a pre-taped show, edition of The Sports Machine with Slim, with my brother Dave and Baker, who was in the studio live yesterday. But we really broke down all the brackets, gave you tons of picks and upset potentials. We gave you our picks for the Final Fours and the winners. I will simply say that my predictions on the show thus far, since we've been rocking and rolling over the last 4 months, have not been incredible. I came out of the gates from day one saying the San Francisco 49ers would win the NFL championship and the Boston Celtics would win the NBA championship. I've bounced back and forth a little bit on the Celtics sometimes. I know they're so good. Talent-wise, we're just so good. But sometimes my confidence gets lowered. Lowered when we melt in clutch situations and go to the free throw lines and miss two shots with 3 minutes left from the guy who's been playing the best basketball for our team since the All-Star break. You know, that's not a confidence builder. Especially, you're playing against a Milwaukee Bucks team. We're at home. We only beat them by three. They don't even have Giannis. Now, come on. That doesn't matter. In basketball, it's like, all right, we're up. You play at a different level if you're down and you really want to beat a team when you get hungry. When you're in front, you're just like, sometimes this is too easy, okay. And you're just not playing defense with the same intensity. Peyton Pritchard, he does. That's what I love about this guy. Did you see him rip the rebound away from the big Brook Lopez last night? That was so awesome. Pritchard was on fire doing all kinds of stuff, doing his magical wizardry like I was talking about with driving into the lane and dishing, and then making threes, step-back threes, insane, awesome-looking shots. And then one play, there's a kind of a long rebound, and Pritchard had started into the paint anyway. He had kind of a run and start. Lopez has the ball just about, and Pritchard comes flying in and grabs it with two hands away from him. It was so awesome. And then Lopez tried to reach in afterwards and take the ball back. They get locked up a little bit. Lopez fouls Pritchard, and then he like pushes him. He just, you know, extends his arm. He's a foot bigger than the guy and probably close to 70, 80, 90 pounds heavier. But Pritchard got the ball and got the foul called against that man. And I've always thought Lopez is kind of, yeah, I mean, he's big. And he's, I think he's one defensive player of the year, but he's kind of soft. Come on, he wants to stand outside and shoot three-pointers. He's 7 feet tall, dude. You know, work on your game inside. You don't need to be shooting threes. You're not going to win anything for anybody. Ask Miles Turner. All the talent in the world just wants to stand outside and shoot threes with a horrible haircut. It's like, you know, shave the haircut, get inside. Shave the head, get inside, and grab some rebounds, dude. College basketball. I could talk NBA all day. It's a big win for the Celtics. It really is in the end. The fact that Tatum at the end comes up with the deuce and then he makes some free throws. So this lends... Again, it rewinds us back, though, to a couple weeks ago. Like we've been talking here on the show, my brother Dave calling and saying, if you're going to let Jaylen Brown shoot the ball so much, you need to be prepared to let him shoot the ball at the end of games as well, and not just all of a sudden change things and stand around watching Jason Tatum try to end the game or finish it for us. You know what I mean? Well, last night, what did we see from a shot perspective standpoint? Jaylen Brown was 6 for 15. Tatum was 9 for 19. So I guess that was shared throughout the game. And then fine, at the end, Tatum, make it happen. Go get him. Tatum finishes with 31, Brown with 21. Not good for either of them. Peyton Pritchard, I say not good, only because Tatum was 9 for 19, 4 for 7 from 3. So he's 5 for 12 from the two-point line. Like that, dude, that's not good. That's not going to win you anything. You need to get to the hoop and score. Jaylen Brown, meanwhile, what was he? 4 for 11 from the field. Inside, he's 2 for 4 from 3. Porzingis, 0 for 5. These are the guys we're going to be relying on in playoff time. You better be making the threes. Peyton Pritchard, 5 for 8 from 3, 7 for 11 from the field, 19 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Awesome defense. Guy's a stud. Peyton Pritchard needs to be playing. Drew Holiday, watch out, dude. I'd be cutting into some of your minutes. And I know that's going to sound crazy talk. This guy doesn't care. Pritchard does not care, and he needs to be playing in crunch time. The Bruins tonight, you know the Rangers are good, don't you? I mean, if you don't know, now you know. They're like the team we're battling. Besides Florida, the Rangers have 94 points out of 69 games. Florida has 94 out of 68 games. We got 97. So we got the most points in the league again by three. Now we've played the most games. We played 70. So almost the end of the season, this is the type of game right here for the Bruins. You win this one, I mean, you're extending your lead over them to 5 points. We want home ice. We want as many home games as possible. Why? Because, like Thomas Poke had said on the show the other day, you win a series, it's nice to not have to travel and go anywhere. Just bask in the win of the series. And I'm just going to tell you, if we win or when the Bruins win their first round series, the confidence in this area all of a sudden, it's going to go sky high. Yesterday, Baker's in here saying, I just don't see it. Florida's going to beat them. The Rangers would beat them. We'll find out tonight. I said, okay, let's get it on tomorrow night. I know Jane has been in the studio here with me. I don't think the Bruins, and I've texted with her. She doesn't see it. So people that consider themselves hardcore Bruins fans, they're not expecting much. Me as the outsider, the upstart, I'm like, I don't know what you guys are looking at. This team's incredible. And how the chemistry in the locker room is just next level with this Brazzers guy coming in. I'm telling you, 26 years old, it's your first chance. The people in that locker room, guys like Marchand, guys like Lindholm, Charlie McAvoy, they love the energy this kid has been bringing up. It has to be. He hasn't played in the NHL before. He's 26. He worked his whole life to get this opportunity. Now he's gotten it. And now he's doing it. And it's not fluke. It's not luck. If you watch, he's a physical specimen. He gets in front of the net and he holds his position. And he can skate and stick handle a little bit. I don't know how we got this guy for nothing, 26 years old. Nobody wants him. But what I'm seeing is it's not just luck. This guy's a story. And I'm telling you, it's going to spread like throughout that entire locker room and throughout that team. And when the Bruins win that first round, people are going to be like, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This team, look how well they're playing. Look at the regular season record. We led the league 2 years in a row with most points. Why didn't we have any confidence? We should have been listening to that dude up in New Hampshire. The sports machine was slim. He knew it all the time. And that's when people are going to start listening more and more to the show. And I think this Facebook Live I was telling you people about earlier, I think this can help. 35 people. Those people, what did they have to do last night? They had nothing better to do than listen to me talk. And I was going on for like 15 minutes before they shut down the post automatically. In copyright infringement, because I had the Celtics game on the TV. So next time I do this, I'm just not going to put the Celtics game on TV. I'm going to make it happen, do something to feel good, and start talking on the Facebook live stream. And then those people are all going to be tuning in to the Sports Machine with Slim to listen every day here on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 in Manchester, New Hampshire, NHTalkRadio.com. We're coming right back with college basketball action breakdown. People have probably already filled out all your brackets for your office pools and that type of stuff. Everybody loves to follow the college basketball action. But for those of you that want to go a little bit next level on the analysis, let me give you my thoughts. Overarching strategy for filling out brackets from Slim. Who we all know has long documented history of not necessarily giving out winners. Okay, I'm just, and I will tell you from past history, many years of history, 30 years, I'm not very good with my picks during college basketball season. I watch a few games, I watch the conference tournaments, and I usually make snap judgments and say, hey, I like these teams, I like how they play, I like this, and usually I'm wrong. So you can factor this into your decision-making criteria if you wish. What I will say is I'm heavily influenced from other people's opinions. My brother Dave, I talk to the most about college basketball, and I tend to believe that he has more knowledge and a better proclivity, is that the right word, to pick winners. So I usually will yield to his thoughts over mine. But there's some things I'm holding tight and true to. And number one is I think the Pac-10 absolutely blows. I think, and watching last night, Colorado played, who was it, Boise State, and Colorado got the win. And I'm just like, first of all, Boise State blows too. They just, these teams are playing one-on-one type of basketball with players who aren't that great from an individual scoring perspective and against defenses that aren't like Colorado's defense. I'm sorry, dude. No. And that's why I've said the Pac-12 is just, I cannot feel confident about any Pac-12 school that's in the tournament here. I will against Oregon, who won the conference tournament, like, I don't hardly even know anything about South Carolina. My brother Dave said they were picked to finish last in the SEC, and they, lo and behold, they made the tournament. I'm like, sold. I'll take South Carolina over Oregon. Why? Because I think the Pac-12 teams don't play defense. I don't think they have offensive movement like UConn does, like Marquette does. UNC, certainly, North Carolina, even Duke. The movement is what you need to watch. The way the teams play together to get guys open. Or is it just, hey, let's stand around, Let's give the ball to this one cat here right now. Let them make a move. And if he gets by his guy, somebody else is going to help. And then you kick the ball out. Yes, that's how more than 50% of basketball teams play. Because they're not smart enough to play as a cohesive unit where there's five guys at a time, all moving, all performing a specific role to try to help each other get open for an open shot that we've determined as a team is the right way to go for us based on the matchups that the defense has on the court. Because there's always going to be a weakest defender. When you go out there with five guys and you look across at the other five, everybody's going to be able to go, well, that's the dude we want to attack right there. He's undersized, and we saw it last night in the 16s matchup. Who the heck was it that played last night? Montana State and Grambling, which was awesome. Awesome game. Grambling got down early. They ended up getting down by 12 or 14. I turned the channel to watch some Celtics. I turned back because I was rooting for Grambling, and man, they had stormed back. They got the lead down to four. It's back and forth all the way. Goes into overtime. Grambling just stomps on him in the end. Well, Grambling was going at the small dude from Montana State who was scoring on the offensive end, but his defense, he was too small to stop anybody. So that's great. You can expose a matchup like that. But once you get to the next level, okay, there's matchups you can't expose. And I thought when I watched this little bit this morning of Long Beach State, for people that don't know, this Long Beach State story is awesome. They're 15 seed. Their coach is an old buck. And this guy, before the conference tournament, he got fired. They said, you're not going to be the coach anymore of this team after this conference tournament, because they had lost like five games in a row. And sorry, I got sidetracked. I got a text. I got a call. It's going to be calling in, I think, with an interesting story here. 603-224-1450. You're always welcome. You got a story or something you want to push on the team and on the radio, an idea, and when I say push, I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean just like propose or something to tell the public. You're free to call. I love to have the callers. But this team, Long Beach State, as I watched, they like physically dominated individual matchups throughout that tournament. Now they're running against Arizona, and I will say my favorite player from Arizona is their big dude, the Dallow guy. And Long Beach State's best player is their big guy. And I'm like, I don't think he's going to score against Dallow. So that's the one school, Arizona, that I'm like, well, I can't pick against them for a first-round upset. But I'm just going to pick against them in the second round because I think they're all soft. I think that entire conference is so mush soft out there, the way they play defense. They don't compete. And then a team like Arizona has so much individual offensive talent. But Caleb Love, I mean, last year North Carolina didn't even make the tournament. And Caleb Love was on the team. He's off the team now. Supposedly was their best player, right? He's off the team now, goes to Arizona. And UNC is a number one seed and a favorite, like fourth pick overall to win it all. Caleb Love, if you watch, he's an individual player. He doesn't make anybody else better. And that's not me getting on the guy. That's just me telling the truth. So I can't take Arizona to go past the second round. Like the first round, yep, second round, Dayton, Nevada. Let's see what happens. Long Beach State, I am rooting for you. I would love to see this coach who's feeling so good on top of the world. He's like, I feel like the luckiest guy alive. He gets his team into the tournament after he had gotten fired. What an incredible, great story. And his team is going to be feeling that. Like, that's one where the players are all going to be going next level. All right, so guess what? I paused for a second there. We do have a caller that I'd welcome onto the show here. I'm not sure the name. I don't know the info, but I know you're a caller. So go right ahead. The floor is yours.
Hi, Jim. I love the show. I am a first baseman on the St. Anselm softball team out of Goffstown, New Hampshire. So yesterday we started a 24-hour challenge called Days of Giving. So the softball team, we're looking for donors to donate $10 to put towards equipment, travel, and training facilities. The team and I would be extremely grateful and appreciative to reach our donor goal of 150 people, and we're so very close. Anything helps to help us gear up for the upcoming conference season. And if anybody's interested, I have the link available.
Yeah, well, then you're going to have to be able to tell us how to get the link. I am curious about this. You said 150 people given 10 bucks a whack, so you're looking for 1,500 bucks.
Yes.
I did right quick now, math. I was a math major in college. You can tell that pretty quick, huh? Days
that was
giving.
Good math. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, and you're in college right now. Come on now. I know you could. I know you're just trying to make me look like a superstar radio host. So talk to me about the day of giving. So you only have 24 hours to get this done, is what you're telling us?
Yep. So it looks like right now we've got about 13 hours left. So we have practice today. We were told practice doesn't start until we reach our donor goal, and we definitely want to practice. But I do have the link, and the days of giving is something that the whole campus does. We started it about, I think, 6 or 7 years ago. But athletics has a specific kind of days of giving where you can, when prompted, you can donate to athletics and then a specific team. But it is a whole campus-wide thing that we do, and it's pretty cool.
At St. Anselm's in Goffstown, New Hampshire. It's not far down the road here from the studio. So what's the link that we go to do this?
Sure. So it's www.stanselmhawks.com/DOG.
Okay, I thought we were going to go long like that. So, but this St. Anselm's Hawk, say it one more time, sorry, so people can find this. Can they Google like St. Anselm's College and then Days of Giving? Like if somebody was going to go online to use a search engine to try to link over to this and find it, what would they type into the search engine?
Yep, I would just type in St. Anselm Days of Giving. And then when prompted, it'll be a big bar that says give now, and you can donate to athletics and then the softball team if you'd like.
Okay, give now, athletics, and then there'll be like drop-down menus to say which athletics program, girls softball. That's what, like, it'll be easy because I'm dumb. I'm really dumb when it comes to this website stuff, so I need to be led perfectly. So is this that simple, or am I going to try and do this and be like, what the heck, this caller on the show is calling up, and I'm half hour confused and upset.
Well, I'm on the website right now, so there is a big box, and it says Give Now, so I'll click Give Now.
There we go. And walk then, me through.
Yep, and you can put in the amount that you'd like to donate.
I'm giving $100. I'm just saying from the show, The Sports Machine with Slim, we love to promote local sports at all levels. I coach pre-K, first grade stuff, all the way up through college here is what we're into, especially for New Hampshire. So I'm just telling you, I'm doing that. Unless you give me the wrong instructions, then I'm just going to fold up shop and not give anything.
I'll give the right instructions.
Do it. Days of Giving.
All right.
Real
Days
quick.
Of Giving.
Yeah.
St. Anselm Hawk.
Yep.
And then there will be that big give now bar if you see it, if you're doing it now.
Yep. Athletics.
Yep. And then you should be able to put in the amount.
Girls softball.
Yep. And you can sponsor a person, you can sponsor the whole team, whatever you want to do.
I'm sponsoring the whole team. Thank you for the call. Encourage your teammates to listen to The Sports Machine with Slim, if you would, please.
Oh, absolutely.
Very good. Happy Thursday out there. This is how we do it on the show, people. Let's go to commercial, come back, talk some more college basketball. 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. You got it at nhtalkradio.com. I did just do that, so people know that actually was a neighbor of mine who called. I have to bribe people to call the station and tell them I'll donate to their initiatives. I'm just trying to buy friends and listeners if I can. And this maybe the whole team will listen to that little segment now and be like, oh, wow, who's this guy? Oh, okay, that was nice. Oh, hey, maybe we should listen to his show. Yeah, you definitely should, because it's great. Sports Machine with Slim. And not for nothing, tell your friends if they have any causes that they need donations to. Heck, you need $10 donations, this guy will give you $100. I just logged on and did it. I went right there, St. Anselm's, Day of Giving. Type in the $100. variety of payment methods. Why not? It's a local college. These are our youth. I don't want to say kids because, I mean, I guess I will say kids, but it's not a derogatory or negative way to look at it. It's like you're in college. Okay, you know, you're still kind of a kid because I look at myself when I was in college. I was dumb. Like, I'm still dumb, but I was way dumber back then. 1,000% dumber. But that's irrelevant, I guess. They're trying to do stuff that you want younger people to be doing. Like, hey, go play competitive sports. Yeah, it's fun. It keeps you out of trouble. You're building relationships. You're learning to compete and hopefully succeed, but you're also learning lessons through failure if you do happen to lose some games. Hopefully St. Anselm's will go on undefeated this year. Maybe we'll be prompted by this Day of Giving challenge. But like, that's the type of cause. Cool, it's worth $10. Go online. Go, just do what. Can I get one person to do it, please? One person that's listening to The Sports Machine with Slim right now, please just go to a search engine, Days of Giving, St. Anselm's. It pops right up. Find the Give Now and then Reason, you know, Athletics. It's a little bit searchable. If you're like over 75, the likelihood of you getting confused is high. Or if you're a step lower, dumber than me. The confusion, it's not as simple as our caller made it seem, but it's pretty simple. It's simple for anybody under the age of 25, right? When it comes to technology, the younger kids are just so much smarter than the rest of us morons out here using Facebook Live. I couldn't even figure out last night how to change the viewpoint. So I was holding my camera, and instead of pointing it at me, you know where you would usually just have this button where it's like instead of looking out, it looks back at you? There was no button on the Facebook Live. I even asked my wife, who's in IT, and she looked at it for a minute, and she was like, I don't know. It's like, no, I've already tried that. No, I've already tried that. None of it worked. So that's why I had it facing towards the TV. And then I got my broadcast interrupted for copyright infringement. Irrelevant. The we don't need to talk about that right now. We need to talk about the men's NCAA tournament bracket. And I will say on a side note, my brother and I exchanged some notes. You can catch on with this if you want to, if you're partaking in any festivities here over the next couple of days. The women's tournament, I believe, kicks off tomorrow. I will just say Tennessee is an interesting play that was pointed out to me by MBD, and do with that what you will. I know I did what I will with it. In the men's tournament, I have to come out and be aggressive, even though I've had a lifelong example of not knowing what the heck I'm talking about when it comes to picking games. And the last thing you want to do is really be listening to me, unless it's something like Tennessee on the women's side of basketball, because that's a real long shot. But for the men's side of things, here's what I'm going to tell you. North Carolina is not losing before the Final Four. It's a jinx. It's a hardcore jinx. We're probably going to clip this in the reels or something, and I'm going to have to live with it after the fact. But I'm just – Carolina is going to the Final Four. They are not losing to anybody in that bracket. They ain't losing to Arizona if they play Arizona. I'm just going to tell you right now, if Arizona gets there in the Elite Eight and plays against Carolina, Arizona is not going to beat North Carolina. That is not going to happen. Carolina is a veteran team with winners and competitors who've been playing top echelon level competition. And their guys came back to win a title. Armando Bacot, their big man in the middle, who's a monster on the boards, could have gone to the NBA. He wants to win in college. Hubert Davis is a winner. His first year as a coach, he went to the finals. He took over a team there from Roy Williams that hadn't been doing too much, I don't think. North Carolina, had they? Short-term memory loss. I'm just telling you, North Carolina is going to the Final Four. And I'm just going to take a stand against UConn. I'm not going to be as loud about this. I don't want there to be a reel made about this. But I think UConn's going to lose before the Final Four. I don't know who's going to do it. I do feel that Auburn with Bruce Pearl is the type of coach that like can get his guys to play next level energy-wise when they're the underdog. And even if they're not, I think Bruce Pearl is just that. He's a motivator. Okay, I don't know X's and O's if he's the greatest or not. I don't have enough info on that, quite honestly. But I know he's a motivator. When he was at Tennessee, like, he got the fans into it. He teaches the kids how to cheer, and I'm down with that. I am into that. A coach that gets out there, mixes it up with the fans, and says, you guys can help us. Because I know that's true. And I keep begging for the Boston Celtics and Boston Bruins fans to do it. And please, Bruins fans, tonight, do it. Get your team, give them a shot in the arm. Get in there early and get, you know, get cranked up with your cheering. And call for a fight. And hopefully Brazzers will take care of that dude for us. I'm going to say Auburn takes out UConn. Iowa State, something's leaning me towards saying that they're going to be real competitive here. But I don't know that they could beat UConn. I just think UConn's going to lose. So that's the left side of the brackets. When we go to the right, Duke is a team I picked last year to win it all. And I just watched them melt. I said, they're just not tough enough. I love Jeremy Roach. I love their point guard. This year when I watch them play, it's like, geez, he's taking a back seat. Like, they got this freshman guard, McCain, what the heck's his last name? I'm like, oh, he's real good. But when you're in the tournament, you like your seniors to kind of be the leaders and the offensive options. So will Roach do that? If he does, I guess Duke could have a run, because I don't think Houston's going anywhere. I'm sorry. And Houston may beat Duke if they play together. Houston doesn't score enough. They're going to run into a team that plays physical, plays tough with them, and Houston's not going to be able to score. So, you know, Duke, I think, is a little soft, but they do have talent on the offensive side. So they're going to put up some points. I really like Marquette in the South. They're the number two seed, and from watching them play in the conference tournament there, I just thought they played a great game in the first half against UConn. Like, they battled UConn to even playing the same kind of style as UConn is great at. So now get the Kolek guy back, your best shooter, best scorer, and maybe that option is just a little bit different. I just do think Shaka Smart. I'm playing the coaches here. I'm going with the coaches. If you look at this, I like Hubert Davis for Carolina. I like the dude from Auburn. Okay, I kind of like Shireman actually from Duke a little bit, but I definitely like Shaka Smart from Marquette. He's done it before. They were VCU when they won a bunch of games. So I'm rolling with the coaches. I kind of like the Tommy Lloyd guy from Arizona. That's why I'm so mad that Arizona, I feel, is such a soft team, because they got a collection of Europeans on that team. And I'm sorry, the Europeans are soft, dude, except for Jokic in the NBA. The Europeans are soft players. They just are. And Arizona's got them in boatloads over there. Like, they go 10 deep. They probably have the most talent, I would tell you. At least on the offensive side of things, in the all of college basketball, I would say Arizona has the most talent. But Caleb Love can just be a net negative, because if he's cold, he'll still keep jacking. And when you're on that team and you have talent, you're like, dude, I want the ball. Like, that's the problem with Arizona, is they're playing with Caleb Love, and he's just got a shotgun mentality where he's going to come down and jack up shots, and you're trying to battle as his teammate, and you're like, dude, like, give me the ball. And that mentality creeps across the entire team, and that's why Arizona's going to go out, even though I kind of like Tommy Lloyd. I don't know when Arizona's going. I'd love to see them go down here to Long Beach State. I just think that would be so awesome if Arizona went down in the last group here, which is the one that we said yesterday, wide open. And remember, stay tuned. You want to hear more. You'll hear more deeper insight into the college basketball pools here, or brackets, after we go to commercial. From the 11 to 12 hour, we got the pre-taped episode. So stay right here. We're on the airwaves, Sports Machine with Slim, for another hour today, talking about college hoops. Purdue, they're not fast enough. They're just not. They have the big guy in the middle, Edie. He's a monster. He's not a great free throw shooter, though. And that's a momentum killer when he goes to the line and misses a couple, or even misses one. And if the other team can stay out of foul trouble with their best players, if it's a big guard in them, Purdue's vulnerable. I mean, why do you think Dave said it yesterday? They've lost in the last 3 years, I think, to a 13 seed, a 14 seed, and the 16 seed. if that's correct, that Dave brought that stat, I'm pretty sure those were the numbers in the last 3 years. Why would you think Purdue's going to go to the finals this year? TCU against Utah State, awesome game tomorrow, just because you don't know what's going to happen. I will say TCU's physical. TCU's tough. When they played Houston, they didn't score for the first like 7 minutes of the game. They only lost 60-45. That's why I say Houston can't score either. But the defense nasty. So let's see. Oregon, South Carolina. I'm going against Oregon. I'm going against the Pac-12. That's my theme, and I'm sticking to it. Have fun out there today watching these basketball games, baby. We'll be back to talk about them tomorrow. The Sports Machine with Slim on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. NewHampshireTalkRadio.com is where it's at.